We're here on Daf Lamed Beis Omer Aleph. We did the Mishnah yesterday, and now we'll start the Gemara. So that's six lines down from the top. Boy minei Rabba Bar Noson Mirav Huna. Rabba asked Rav Huna, Hamazik es ishto betashman shabito mau. What's the din if a husband, in his relations with his wife, he injured her? Shall we say, Kevon de Bersus Ka'ovid Potter, since he's allowed to have this relationship, therefore he's Potter? It's not like the case of someone who puts a Takol in Rishasarabim illegally. O Dilma Iboile Liuni, or nevertheless, this is Adam Amazik, he should have been more careful. Even if he's doing it Bershus, but nevertheless, that doesn't exonerate him from his Chova Shmir of Adam Amazik. Amalei Rav Huna responded to Rabba Bar Huna, Bar Rav Noson, to Nisua. We learned this in our Mishnah. How? The Mishnah speaks about Shnayim, two people who are Mahalchim Bershus Arabim, and they knock into each other. Shalazeh Rishus Lahalich, V'af Lazeh Rishus Lahalich. They both have permission to walk in Rishus Arabim. And in such a case, the Mishnah says that if a hezek takes place, if they collide, then there's no chiv nezikin. Here too, since he's doing it bershus, the case of the baal beishto, therefore we should say that he is exonerated from any damages that happen. Omar Rava. Rava says, wait a minute, I have a question on this. Kal v'chomer, don't we have a kal v'chomer that would lead us to the exact opposite conclusion? Uma Yar. Let's go back to the parsha of Rotseach Bishogeg, who's Chayev Golos. And the case is Yar. They both went into the Yar, they went into this forest. And one is chopping down wood with his axe. The axe flies and kills someone. And the Rotseach Bishogeg goes into Golos. Shezer Rishuso Nichnas, Vizel Rishuso Nichnas. Both the Rotseach and the Nirtzach have rights to go into the Yar. Yar is an open place. It's a Rishus for anyone to go in there. And nevertheless, Nase Kemi Shenichnas Rishus Chavero. It's as if the Rotseach went into the private area, the private chatzer of his friend, of the Nirtzach, and therefore, v'chayev, he goes into Golos. And this is all based on the pasuk in Dvarim Yutes, v'asher yavo esrei'u bayar, lachtov eitzim, v'nidche yoda begaron, begarzen, Lichrosa eitz v'noshal or v'nishal abarzel min ha'eitz u'motzes re'eu u'mes hu yanus al-achas el-achas ha'orim ha'eile v'chai. So even though they both have rishus to go in there, but nevertheless it's considered as if he, the Rotzech, entered into the rishus of the Nirtzach and he's chayev golus. How much more so here in the case of Zeh, the Baal, Shel Rishus Chavero, Nichnas, he actually goes into the private possession, the private location of his wife. Lo Kolshken, how much more so should he be Chayiv in Tashlumin? So then Rav is going to have to reconcile with the Mishnah, Elohadik Tani, what it says in the Mishnah, that if they both have Rishus to go in Rishus Arabin, there's no Chayiv Nezikin. Shel Zer Rishus Ach, Zer Rishus Lahalech, Hosam, there in the Mishnah it's different. Why? Travayu kehadodi ninhu. They both caused the damage. In this case, the jar or the barrel of the balachovis was broken because it collided. It came in contact with the korah, and in such a case, there is a travayu kehadodi ninhu. Both really are garmim here. You cannot point your finger at one active agent and one passive agent. They're both actively involved in traversing through Rishus Arabim, and they collided. But hacha, here we can identify the active agent. In the case of Mazik is Ishto, Iu Ka'ovid Maisa, Vehi Lo. The Baal is considered, of course, the Osa Maisa. She is passive. And in such a case, the active Mazik has to pay damages. The Gemara asks the following question: is it really true that she's Lo Ka'ovid Maisa? Vaksiv, the Torah says, with regard to the parsha of Eishes Eishes Zinsa, that's in Vayikra Yudches, the Torah says, V'nichrisu hanefashos ha'osos mikerev amon. And what that means is that both the Boel and the Nevelis are considered Chayev Kores. And why is that? Hanefashos ha'osos, after all, he is Bekuva Seh, he does the Maisa Bia, and she's the Nevelis B'Shevi Altaseh. And if that be the case, based on that parasha of the Chiyuv Kares of Isha, we should really conclude that she's considered Nefashos HaOsos. So why do you say that he's the Mazik and she is Lokovid Maisa? And the Gemara answers, no, you misunderstood the Chiddush of the Torah when it says Hanefashos HaOsos. Hana Litravayu Ihu. With regard to the Chiyuv Kares, what makes you into an Osa HaMaisa, Nefashos HaOsos? That's the Hanoah. And this, of course, reflects the famous principle in the Gemara in Krisus, HaMisasek V'chalovim V'arayos Chayev Shekei Nene. When it comes to Arayos, the Mechayev is the Hanoah. And therefore, even if a person is a Misasek, he falls from a roof and he has a Maisa Bia, nevertheless, he has Hanoah from that Bia. That generates a Shem Maisa. In Kol Tar Kula, it would not be considered a Maisa. Misasik is Mafkir, the Shem Maisa. But in the case of Arayos, where he has Hanoah, is Misasik, Barayos, is Chayef. And that's reflected here in our Sugya of Hanoah L'Travayu Islehu. Then the Gemara says, but in the case of Mazik, not in Arayas and the Chiyuv Arayas, but in the case of Mazik, where you want to define a Mazik and a Nizak, that's a whole different story. Iu Maisa Hudakovit. There's no question that the Baal is the active agent. So again, even though she has a Chalus Shem Maisa, that's as far as Chiyuve Kares and other Onshim are concerned for violating these Kares, but nevertheless, she's considered loka of it maisa. The maisa befall, an active maisa is done by him and not by her. And this, of course, reminds us of the sugya of Karka Olam in Masechta Sanhedrin. The Gemara asks about Esther. How was it that Esther was allowed to have a relationship with Achashverosh if we assume that that relationship was Gili Arayas? Wouldn't there be a chiyuv of Yeharig Val Yavar to give up her life? And the Gemara establishes the principle that Esther Karka Olam Haisa, that she was totally passive. And the question once again is, why shouldn't we say that Hanoah Nechshev Kamaisa, the general principle of Arayas, should apply even with regard to Kiddush Hashem, even with regard to the chiyuv of Yeharig Val Yavar? And Rabbi Kiveger is famous for saying in Masechta Ksubas Daf Yud Aleph that Karka Olam is a separate halacha in that with regard to Yeharig Val Yavar, meaning when a person is considered as if they are choosing to do an erva relationship as opposed to fulfilling the mitzvah of the Ahavta, in such a case we say that Karka Olam is a mitigating factor. And even though in Hilchas Arayas is Nefashos HaOsos, she is a considered a violator like the Boel of the Aver of Gili Arayas, but nevertheless, with regard to Kiddush Hashem, there's halacha that unless you're active, Bekum Vaseh, if you're passive like Karka Olam, then there's no chiyuv of Kiddush Hashem. In fact, Reb Chaim, in his first Chiddush in the Sefer, goes as far as to saying that if you would have Lu Yitzuyer a Ritzicha B'Shevi Al Taseh, and someone put a gun to you and said, allow yourself to be thrown in such a way that you're a Rotzeach, but passively, or I'll kill you, you'd be allowed to permit yourself to be thrown and save your life, V'Chai Bohem, because this would not be an active violation of Ritzicha, but rather it would be Karka Olam B'Shevi Al Taseh. Here too, when we swing back to our sugya, the sugya of Mazik and Nizak, everything depends upon the action, Bekum Vaseh or not. Not the Chal Shem Chiyuv and Onshim and the violation of Kares, which depends upon the Nichrusu Anafashos, that the Hana itself engenders a Chiyuv Arayas, but rather the question is, Maisa Befoal as opposed to a Karka Olam kind of situation. She is Karka Olam, he's the Mazik, therefore Rava says he has to pay damages for being a Mazik. Now, exactly what damages he has to pay, that's unclear. Chovil b'chavero engenders five categories, as we know. It's not just Nezek. The only problem is that here he didn't have Kavana. And without Kavana, we would say that he's not chayav for sure for Boshes, because we discussed this at great length two blot ago, that the machayev of Boshes is Kavana. That's a precondition. And not only that, there are other issues here, because as far as Ksuba is concerned, the problem would be that, for example, Ripui is one of the five categories of Chovil B'Chavero. In the case of Ripui, well, that's part of the Chiyuv Ksuba. So the whole question of whether he pays Ripui because he was a Mazik is a moot question, because there's no relevancy to that question. He has to pay the doctor bills within the framework of Ksuba. Now, as far as Shevis is concerned, the fact that she can't go to work and she loses employment, well, that too is within the framework of Ksuba of Maisi Odeh Shalom. The Nemuki Yosef here in our sugya points out that Lamaisa, the only chiyuv that the Gemara is focused on is the chiyuv Nezek. All the others, like Ripui and Sheves, are either covered by the Ksuba, or in the case of Boshes, and likewise in the case of Tsar, those are lifted, not because of Ksuba, but because there was no Kavana Lahazik. And the Gemara on Daf Chavav Amid Beis says that if a person has Kavana to throw two Amos, and it landed four Amos later, he's Potur from Tsar, because he didn't have Kavana. The Rambam actually codifies our sugi of Mazik Asisho B'tash Shemita Chayev Bin Ezakeha in Hilchas Chovil Mazik Perit Dalid, and the Shulchan Aruch brings it down in Choshev Mishpatov Chav Aleph, and the Achronim claim, based on the Nemuki Yosef, that the Chiyuv is Nezek and only Nezek. Now we go on. The Mishnah tells us Hayabal Kora Rishon Ubal Chavis Achron, if he who is carrying the beam is up front, he who is carrying his barrel is behind him, the barrel is smashed by its collision with the beam, the owner of the Korah, the Mazik, is Potif and Tashlumen, they both had Rishus to go there, but if the Bala Korah takes a short stop, and this is not something that the Bala Chavis behind him anticipated, then the Bala Korah is chayav, he has to pay damages. Omer Eish Lakish, Shtei Paros, Birshus Arabim. This is the famous case of Kolamashana Ubaracher Vishina Bopota that we discussed earlier. What happens is there are two paros that attack each other, so to speak, or one attacks the other. They're both in Rishus Arabim, but Achas Revuta. One is lying flat on her back on the ground in Rishus Arabim. Achas Malechzia is walking in a normal way. So what is the din if one injures the other? So we have two cases. Case number one is Ba'ata Mehaleches Berevuta. If the para that's walking kicks the para that's Revuta, that's lying down, Ptura, there's no Chiyuv Nezikin, and the reason for that is Kol Mishana. It means that the animal that was revutza was exhibiting a very strange, unusual behavior by lying down on its back in the middle of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and in such a case, ba'ach ha'vashinah ba'potu. And that sugi we had back on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, and now the Gemara has in the Sefer of Reish Lakish another case, revutza b'maleches. What happens if the animal lying on its back kicks the animal that's walking? Chayeves, in such a case, the Baal HaRavutz has to pay damages for Nezikin. What's the Chiddush here? Why would I think that the Ravutza would be Ptura? What's the Havamina? Why is Reish Lakish feel compelled to be Mechadish this? So the Chazon Ish has an answer here to explain the Havamina. We could have said that the ravutza is ptura. Why? The maleches should not have come too close to the ravutza. Now let's assume that the owner of the ravutza is aware. He sees from a distance. I'm sorry, the owner of the maleches is aware and he sees from a distance the ravutza, and he realizes that he should stay away. Therefore, the obligation rests upon his shoulders, the baal Hamaleches, to be marchik himself and not to come too close to the Ravutza. Kamash Malon, Reish Lakish says, no, we don't shift the responsibility from the Ravutza over to the Maleches, but rather the responsibility for Nezikin falls squarely on the shoulders of the Ravutza. And there's no such taina, well, you should have taken your cow down a different path or distance yourself from the Ravutza. You have a right to take your cow in the normal way down Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Lema Misayele, can we bring a proof to Reish Lakish's conclusion from our Mishnah? Hoya Baal Korah Rishon, Baal Chavis Achron, Venishbra Chavis Bekorah Potter, but Vim Omad Baal HaKorah Chayov, if the Baal HaKorah stands and stops while he's walking, the Baal Chavis trips behind him and breaks his Chavis into the Korah, Chayav, the Baal HaKorah is Chayav for damages in the Sefer, because he stood and he did something unusual. He was Mishana. For Hacha, and here, our mission in the Sefer is absolutely parallel, says the Gemara. Kirivutza b'maleches dami uktani chayav. It's like the Sefer Reish Lakish. The Ravutza did something unusual. Here too, the Baal HaKorah did something unusual. Again, he has rights to go and carry his beam through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but not to stop suddenly and without notifying the Baal HaChavis create this takola. And therefore, the Baal HaKorah, in the fact that he stopped suddenly, that's called a shinui, a change from the derech haragila, the normal way. People don't stop in order to take a rest in the middle of Rosh Hashanah while they're carrying the dangerous takolos, and therefore he's chayav tashlumin because he had no right to stop suddenly. And this is exactly parallel, says the Gemara, to the parah ravutza, that she's laying down in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That's not normal behavior for a cow in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and therefore the owner of the Ravutza takes on responsibility for Nezikin. V'tizvara, the Gemara says, is that really a logical proof? Ha sayoy boya. Do you really think that this is a siyua, this is a support text for Reish Lakish? Lo mistayeya Dilo Messiah, I would say it's not enough that it's not a support text. Ella Miksha Nami Kasha. I would even say further than that, that the Mishnah is a contradiction to Reish Lakish. Taima Debata, the reason why Reish Lakish says that the Para Ravutza has to pay damages is because of Ba'ata. That's the case of Reish Lakish. Maybe we weren't careful when we read Reish Lakish to emphasize this enough. Ba'ata means that the para that was laying on the ground did a be'ita, which was very, very strange and very unusual. Kicking, as it were, the para that was walking through Rosh Hashanah. The implication of the words of Reish Lakish is that Ahuska Memela Potter. If, let's say, the Revutza was on the ground, lying on the ground, not kicking up, and it just formed a takola, it served as a takola in Rishus Harabim by lying on its back. Now the Paramaleches trips over the body of the Revutza, the Bala Paravutza is Potter, he doesn't have to pay Tashlume Nezek. And the reason for that is because there was no active Maisa Hezek on the part of the Revutza. The Revutza didn't start kicking and actively damaging the Maleches. But if you compare this to the Mishnah, the Memela Ukatani Chayav, the Mishnah is also a case of Memela, meaning the Balakora here did not do anything active to smash the barrel of the Balachovitz, and yet he's Chayav Tashlumin. Why? Because he did something unusual, and because of a situation in which, as a result of the Baal HaKorah's unusual action, he was standing, and therefore the Baal HaKorah was nitkal, he smashed into him, he tripped into him, and he was damaged, he lost his chavis, it broke into pieces. The Baal HaKorah is chayav. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that Reish Lakish, based on that mission, didn't go far enough. When Reish Lakish wanted to be mechayev the Revutza because of Shinu, he should have done so, even if the Revutza was not actively involved in a Be'ita, in a Maisa Hezek B'Kumvaseh. And the reason for that is because the Revutza shouldn't have been laying down in Rishus HaRabim. That itself is a Takola. Or, in the parallel case in that Mishnah, the Baal HaKorah should not have stopped dead in his tracks. And even though the Baal HaKorah is passive, there's no Hezek B'Yadayim, he's Chayev. And insofar as the Revutza is laying down, that itself should be a Machayev. As we said before in the Chazon Ish, the Baal HaMaleches had no responsibility to, you know, to stay far away from the Revutza. You know, according to Reish Lakish, he's allowed to come close, and therefore he's potter. And if that be the case, that Reish Lakish is insisting that the Baal HaRavutza is potter, if there was no be'ita for a hezek of a takola b'shevi al taseh, then what do you do with our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah says that if there's an unusual phenomenon of stopping in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, even if there's no Maisa Behezek V'Kumvaseh, nevertheless you pay damages according to Reish Lakish, if not for Be'ita, then the Revutza would be Ptura. Now if you'll take a look at Tosfos, Divrei HaMaschil V'im, on the top of Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, you'll see that Tosfos claims that the reason why the Baal HaKorah here is Chayav is because the Baal HaChavis doesn't anticipate that the Korah would be Kishilda. Shilda meaning, if you remember, like the carcass where it stretches along the width of Rishus HaRabim. And therefore the Baal HaChavis is not considered in any way a Poshea in the Niskal situation. Now, it could be, therefore, that according to the logic of Tosfos, if the Baal HaKorah stands flat, straight, suddenly, then the Baal HaChavis, in this case, would be considered a little bit responsible because he noticed, he saw from a distance, that the Baal HaKorah might possibly stop. But at the end of the day, Tosfos says, based on the Sugya on Daf Lamed Aleph, the Sugya of Rabbi Yochanan, it seems that it all depends upon whether the Baal HaKorah was Omeid Lafush or Omeid Lekatev. And therefore, if it was an Omeid Lekatev situation, which is normal and anticipated, then the Baal HaKorah is Potur, because Darko Bekach Lamod Lekatev. However, if on the other hand, the Baal HaKorah was Omeid Lafush, and the Baal HaKorah did not in any way anticipate that, and we don't say that the Amida Lofush is something Bershus, therefore the Baal HaChavis is not in any way a Poshea, and the Baal HaKorah would have to pay damages. And the Ri and Tosfos says that in such a case, we're not talking about the Amida of the Bala Korah Kishilda, where he stood with his beam that stretched across the width of the entire width of Rishus HaRabim, but rather Mitchilo Mahalchu Kshakarosa Munachas and Ein Derech Bnei Adam Mahalchim B'Derech Lizbonei. So Ayin Shom, take a look in Tosfos and see if you can work that all out. In any event, the Gemara says the following: if you're asking a stira, posing a contradiction from our Mishnah Dresh Lakish, then Yesh Lechalik. We can make the following distinction: Masnisin defaska liorcha kishilda. The Mishnah is talking about a case where the reason why the Bala Korah is chayav for nezikin, even though it was a hezek b'shevi alta, so without a maisa b'yadayim, and even though logically you might ask, well, shouldn't the Bala Chovis have anticipated that the Bala Korah would stop? And the answer is the case of kishilda. And we discussed already in the past that kashilda means that the heads of the Korah, the two heads of the Korah, are now stretched across the width of Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, we want to suggest that the Bala Korah is chayav in the Nizkei Chavis of the Bala Chavis. The Bala Chavis in this case had no possibility of going to the left or to the right. There was no way he could swing around the Korah. And if this be the case, we have halacha here of Ovid Inish Dina Lenafshe. You cannot be mafkia, the Rabim, from walking through the Rabim. And here, in this case, the Bala Korah is mafkia. He doesn't allow anyone to go past. Hacha, but here, in the case of Reish Lakish of two paros, we're talking about a case of Kigon Derava Bechad Gisa. The para, the Rovetzes, that's laying on the ground is on one side of the pathway of the road. There still is room to swing around, and therefore, Iboile Lisaguye Beidoch Gisa. There's plenty of room for the Bala Par to take his para as he's walking through Rishus HaRabim to the Tzada Derech, so that it should not have any collision, it should not suffer any damages from the para Ravutza. And therefore, Reish Lakish would assume that in this case we could shift the balance, the responsibility from the shoulders of the Baal HaRavutza onto the shoulders of the Baal HaMaleches. If the para revutza starts kicking the para hamolechus, that's already a different story. That's a maisa hezek bekumvase, and therefore it's chayev. But in a shevi al tesetz potter, unless we have the case of kishilda, and again, this all depends upon the re in Tosis that we mentioned earlier, Tosdi Ramaskal v'im, about the case of Ahmad Lofush. The Gemara now tries to bring a proof to Reish Lakish, once having defended Reish Lakish from the Mishnah, from the Sefer of the Mishnah. The Sefer of the Masnisin, Misayel Eil Reish Lakish, the Katani, the Mishnah says, Hoya Bala Chavis, Rishon, Ubal Kora Achron. Let's switch around the order in which they're walking through the public domain. He who's carrying the jug or the barrel is up front, and he who's carrying the beam is behind him. V'nishbra chavis b'kora. In this case, the Bala Korah was a little bit careless, shall we say. He was negligent, and he smashed into the chavis in front of him. Chayav. The Mishnah says the Bala Korah has to pay damages for the loss of the chavis. However, im amad Bala chavis, if the owner of the jug, the barrel, stopped all of a sudden, and the Bala Korah tripped in, smashed into him, potter, the Bala Korah is potter, because now the negligence is that of the Bala Chavis by stopping. So the Gemara now asks, v'ha'hacha dekemaleches b'revutza dami. isn't this similar to the case of Maleches Birvutza? What do we mean? When the Baal HaChavis stands all of a sudden and the Baal HaKorah goes into him and smashes his barrel, this is very similar to the case where the Parah Maleches damages the Revutza. Why? Because just like in the case where the Baal HaChavis who's up front suddenly, without any warning, stops dead in his tracks, and therefore we say that the Baal HaKorah is exempt from damages because it's not his negligence, and therefore the Baal HaKorah, even though he smashed the Chavis, is potur. We should apply the same thing in the case of Bata Para Maleches Bipara Harovetzes, which means that since the Para HaRovetzes, like the Baal HaChavis, unusually uses the Rosh Hashanah in a very strange and a way that's not predictable, it's not anticipated, by laying down flat on its back in Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, the Maleches, when it injures the Para, is Patur. And this would support the Resha of Resh Lakish. If you remember, in the Resha, Resh Lakish said, Bata Maleches Birvutza Patur. And we said that that's based on the fact that a mazik is potter if it is a meshanu b'achar v'shina, if the shinui that came second followed in the footsteps of the shinui that came first. That should be exactly parallel to our Mishnah where the Baal HaChavis stood without any warning. The Baal HaKorah now smashed into him. True, you may say that the Baal HaKorah could have been a little bit more careful. I don't know. But it's Ba'achar V'shinaba. There was an original shinui on the part of the Baal HaChavis by stopping. Says the Gemara, no, there's no proof to Reish Lakish. In fact, there's a logical reason to assume that in the Reish of Reish Lakish, the Baal HaMalecha should be Chaya, despite what the Mishnah says about the Baal HaKorah. Because Masnisin D'chi'urche Kamazge. The Mishnah is talking about a case where the Baal HaKorah is walking in his normal way. When he trips and smashes up against the Baal HaChavis, that's totally blamable. We can shift all the blame onto the Baal HaChavis for stopping prematurely. The Baal HaChavis was Mishana. He did Shalok Og and he did something unusual and negligent. But Hacha here, in the Baal Para Malechs, you want to say the Malechs should be potter because let's shift all the blame onto the Revutza. Wait a minute. That's not so. Amale, here in this case, the Baal HaRavutza can talk to the Baal HaMalechus and say the following. Nehite islecha reshus l'sagui elai. If you wanted to, because of my shinui, walk your parah on top of my parah, just simply carry him over me, that's fine. But levu'uti bi leslecha reshusa. Okay, I did a shinui, but that my shinui, says the Baal HaRavutza, is not enough to justify your shinui. You are an active mazik because your animal kicked my animal. And kicking is not something that you have rishus to do. Again, I'll grant you rishus to step on my animal, but not to kick my animal actively with a great deal of energy, impact, and force. And therefore, it would be very logical to assume that even in the light of our Mishnah, that the Baal HaKorah is potur, yet the Baal HaMalechus should be chayiv against Reish Lakish. The Baal HaKorah, that mission is potur because he did nothing unusual. He has a right to continue his walking in Rishus HaRabim, and he doesn't anticipate that the Baal HaChavis would stop dead in his tracks. All the responsibility here is attributable to the negligence of the Baal HaChavis. Not so in the case of the Baal HaPara HaMalechus. You can certainly take your parah and walk it through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but not to do an act of revitza. So it comes out that even according to Reish Lakish, who says that Bata maleches, which means a be'ita b'kavana b'rvutza, in such a case, your potter, the Baal HaMaleches, is potter. That's called Ba Acher Veshina. Nevertheless, it would seem that Reish Lakish would have to agree that if the Baal HaKorah would actively and deliberately be Mazik the Baal HaChavis, he would be chayv to pay Tashlumei Nezikin, because we're talking about Adam HaMazik. We don't find, back in the Sugi of Kalam Hashana, that principle would apply to Adam HaMazik. And therefore, Tosus here, Dibra Maskel V'ha, that's the Tosus here towards the end of the Daf, he raises the following question. The Gemara sees our Mishnah with a Baal HaKorah's potter as a stira, as a contradiction to Reish Lakish. Because Reish Lakish says that the Baal HaMaleches is potur because of the shinui of the Baal HaRavutza, and yet Mishnah postulates that the Baal HaKorah is potur for a different reason, and that is because all the responsibility shifts onto the shoulders of the Baal HaChavis, who suddenly stopped in his tracks. There was no shinui on the part of the Baal HaKorah, and therefore he's potur. However, that contradicts Reish Lakish, because the Mishnah would certainly argue that had the Baal HaMaleches been responsible for an active negligence in the shinui of Be'ita, then the Baal HaMaleches would be chayav. So Tosfos asks, well, there's no stira over here. The reason why the Baal HaRavutza would be chayav is because of the kavana lahazik. In the case of Adam HaMazik, had the Baal HaKorah had a kavana lahazik, then indeed he would be chayav. So Tosfos points out that our Gemara does not have the intention of comparing these two cases in the sense that the Baal HaKorah should be potur if he had kavana lahazik, but rather the Baal HaKorah is potur because of the amida of the Baal HaChavis. And since the Baal HaChavis was the one who causes takola, and the Baal HaKorah did not have any way of being careful about this, therefore he's potur. So too, the Baal HaPorah Maleches, we could say, should be potur because, you know, what could he have done? The Parah Ravutza was the one who caused this takola. And on that, the Gemara says, but wait a minute. He should have certainly, the Baal HaPorah Maleches, shouldn't certainly have watched his Parah in a way that it shouldn't have had Kavon Lahazik. And therefore, if it does a Ve'ita, it should be Chayav. But surely the Gemara understood that the Ptur and Amishna, the Baal HaKorah, is based on the fact that he did nothing negligent. But if he negligently, or even more than that, deliberately smashed into the chavis, that's Adam HaMazik, and he'd be chay. And now, Rabosai, we start the Mishnah, which is the second Mishnah on page Lamed Beis. The Mishnah here addresses the case of two people that damage each other in Rishus HaRabim. Shnayim Shoyim HaHalchim Rishus HaRabim Echad Rots V'Echad Mahalech. One is running through Rishus HaRabim, the other is walking through the Rishus HaRabim. And the question becomes whether or not the runner has rights to do so, and perhaps he's liable for damages. Second case, Osha Yushneim Rotzim, and then V'Ziku Zedzeh Shneim Pturim. It means that in Rishus HaRabim, there is Rishus not only to walk through the Rishus HaRabim, but even to run through Rishus HaRabim. Again, we're talking about a case where there was no Kavana Lahazik. It was Nitkal. It was Huzku Zeba Zeba Lo Kavana. Because again, if there was Kavana, and somebody deliberately damaged someone, that's Adam HaMazik. There's no question about it. Here, the Ptur is based on the fact that there is Rishus to run around. Now, there is a machlokus which we'll see between the Tanakhama and Isi ben Yehuda. Isi ben Yehuda is of the opinion that whether or not you pay damages is totally contingent on the fact that you had rishus or you didn't have rishus. That's the issue. And the Gemara says, Masnisin, l'chora our Mishnah is delo ki Isi ben Yehuda. Why? This sanya we learned in a braisa, Isi ben Yehuda omer rots chayav, meaning you don't have rishus to run through rishus haravim. Mipneshu mishuna. Mishuna means he violated what is considered by municipal rights allowable, permissible in rishus haravim, and therefore you pay damages. Our Mishnah says no, that you're allowed to run through rishus haravim, and therefore you don't pay damages. In fact, Isi ben Yehuda would admit that if there is a situation where we allow you to run through rishus haravim, you would be potter from damages. That he doesn't disagree. But when there's a very thin slice, a very unusual particular case or situation in which you're allowed to run through rishus haravim, umode isi bi erev Shabbos bein hashmoshos, on erev Shabbos, when we get towards Shabbos, everybody is running around taking care and preparing for Shabbos, running through the rishus haravim, you got to buy your fish before the fish store closes, shu potter. And if he damages someone, he's potter, again below kavana, mibnei sharatz birshus. And therefore, Isi ben Yehuda would say that as a general rule, you're not allowed, you're not permitted to run through rishus haravim, and you have to pay damages, you're liable for nezikin. And our Mishnah doesn't qualify whether or not he was running on Erev Shabbos or he was running during the week. The Mishnah establishes that even during the week he's potter. And l'chora, according to Isi ben Yehuda, during the week for sure he'd be chayev. So now we have a problem because Om Rabbi Yochanan Locha Isi ben Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan actually accepts the principle of Isi ben Yehuda. And as a general rule during the week, if you're running through rishus haravim and you damage someone, you pay damages, you're liable. The only exception is Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara says, I don't know. How do we reconcile that statement of Rabbi Yochanan, adopting and embracing the sheet of Isi ben Yehuda, Omar Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan says, and we had it before in Daf Chav Tes, Halacha Kistam Mishnah. Our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah, it's an anonymous Mishnah. And Rabbi Yochanan always passes like a Stam Mishnu. Tanan in our Mishnah says, Echad Rotz, V'echad Mahalech, Oshoi Shneim Rotz and Peturim. The Mishnah proves, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that if a person is running through the Shesarabim, he has no liability. And the Mishnah is not talking about Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara answers, no, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you have to reinterpret the Mishnah with a new Kimta, Masnisin, the Erev Shabbos, Bein Hashmoshos. The reason why the Mishnah alleviates the Mazik from liability is because it was a case of Erev Shabbos. And that's Isi ben Yehuda. Mimai. How can we say that the Mishnah is talking about a case of Erev Shabbos? I mean, it doesn't seem that that's true. And the answer is, Mita Ketani, the Mishnah says, Osha Yishneim Ratzim Peturim Hasu Lomali. The entire Sefer seems to be completely superfluous. We could derive the Sefer logically without the Mishnah having to bother to tell me this with a Kal v'chomer, Hashta, Echad Ratz v'Echad Mahalech Potur. If one of the two was running, and the runner in this case damaged the walker, and nevertheless the runner is Potur, then Shneim Ratzim, they're both running, even the Nizak is Miboy. Did the Mishnah have to tell me that he would, the runner, the Mazik would be potter? For sure he'd be potter. He's potter if he was the runner. Certainly if the Nizak was also running through Rishus Rav, he's potter. So now we have to darshan, why did the Mishnah add that sefer? Ella, but rather we have to reinterpret our Mishnah. Hachikomer, this is the Mishnah's intention. Echad Rots, the Echad Mahalech, Potur. We have to add a little clause in the Mishnah here, the Emtzai clause. When the runner is within his legal rights to run in Rishus HaRavim, then he's Potur. When is that? As we saw in Isi Menu, that's Erev Shabbos. Aval bechol, during the days of the week, Echad Rotz Vech Mahalich Chayav. Now we can justify the Mishnah in its Sefer. It flows very beautifully. Shneim Rotzim Afilu bechol Pturim. So if one is Rotz bechol, he's Chayav, he's liable. If they're both running, then he's Potter. The Rosh here in Siman Yud Aleph says that if a person is running through Rishus HaRabim in order to prepare for Shabbos, in other words, he's involved in a mitzvah, so as we said before, he's running to buy fish for Shabbos, then he's potter. And Agos Ashri around the Rosh says that it sounds like the way the Rosh understood it, the heter of Isi Ben Yehuda giving permission for someone to run for Shabbos is only if people are now involved in preparing Tzarchei Shabbos. You know, they're cooking, they're baking, they're frying for Shabbos, they're grilling for Shabbos. Says the Agos Ashri, that period of time on Erev Shabbos is Michatzi, Michatzos Hayom, Ulamala. From the middle of the day and on, that's when we can assume and give Rishus for people to run through Rishus HaRabim, Hachana, Tircha, for Shabbos. And now we have an interesting machlokas Rishonim, the Rambam, in Perek Vav, Mihilchas Kovil Amazik, says that the Ptur of Ratz on Erev Shabbos is because he's Ratz Rishus, Kidesh Lo Tikones HaShabbos V'Eni Ponui. In other words, it's not that he's buying something or running through Shabbos in order to make sure that his oven is working. He's doing whatever he has to do. He's taking care of his weekly, ordinary, mundane tasks. But he's doing so in a very rushed way, so that when he enters into Shabbos, he will be panui. He'll have no tiredness on his mind that connects him to Shabbos. The whole idea of Shabbos is to break away from involvement emotionally, intellectually, in chol. You break away and you have a shvisa nikeres. And therefore, if he's running through Shabbos to take care of his last minute things, you know, even if it's something for his work, but he wants to get it over with, that's enough to pater him up. Other Rishonim seem to assume, not like the Rambam, but the Ptur of Ratzber of Shabbos is at a time period in which people are running, and furthermore, when he himself is running for the purpose of Tzarchei Shabbos. And again, according to the Rambam, it would seem that a person has rishus to run for anything, as long as it's part of the necessary preparation for Shabbos, Yeponim is Shabbos. But again, it's very possible that that only applies during a certain period of time, which is close to Shabbos. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach wants to know, you're talking about a case of Ratz L'Tzarchei Shabbos, and therefore he's potter from the Zikin. Let's say, in Derech Lorutz L'Tzarech Shabbos, Hoya Ala Nizak L'Zoyer, you want to shift the obligation and the responsibility to be careful over to the Nizak, because the Nizak has to realize that on Erev Shabbos, people are running around L'Tzarchei Shabbos. And the Ptur, says Rav Shlomen Zalman, it doesn't make sense to say that there's a negligence or a responsibility shifted over to the shoulders of the Nizak, because how is it possible, asks Rav Shlomen Zalman, that we can expect the Nizak to be careful? You know, he's walking through Sarab, somebody runs into him and bangs him and damages him. Where's the responsibility here on the Nizak to say that because the Mazik is running for Tzarchei Shabbos, therefore he's exempt from paying damages? How can you possibly shift the responsibility to the shoulders of the Mahalik Rishus HaRabim? How is he meant to protect himself? Maybe we're telling him not to walk through Rishus HaRabim. So Shlomo Zalman is Mechadesh that since the Ratz is Rishus, that's a separate ptur. It's afkos nezikin. In other words, normally it could very be that, and we discussed this back on Daf Lamed, if you recall, in the case of Potkim Bivoseyam, that even though a person is given, he's granted Rishus to, let's say, bring some of his rubbish, his water into the Sarab during Yemos HaGshamim, etc., etc., nevertheless, he still has to take upon himself damages. But here in the case of Ratz, for Tzorchei Shabbos, the Rabbanim created a twofold halacha. Number one, they allowed him, permitted him to be Ratz. And number two, they created a new ptur, a new chalos, hafkos, nezikin, to patur him up from damages. Omar Mar, let's go back to the Brisa of Isi ben Yehuda. The Brisa says, Umode Isi, B'erev Shabbos ben Hashmashu, Potem Nesha Ratz B'shus. So the Gemara clarifies, Be'erev Shabbos, my Rishus Ika. Why is it so that we give Rishus to a person to run through Rishus Arabim on Erev Shabbos? And the Gemara demonstrates this with the story of Rabbi Hanina and his Talmidim. And here we're going to turn to Daf Lamed Beis Amid Beis. Kid Rabbi Hanina, the Omer Rabbi Hanina, he told his Talmidim, instructed them. It's one of the most famous Gemaras in Shas, perhaps, because every Friday night we think of this Gemara. He turned to his Talmidim with the clarion call, Bov and Neitzei Likras Shabbos Malkasa. Interesting that Shabbos is called a Malka, a queen, rather than a king. In fact, the Rambam writes that Shabbos is a king because it is the Melech Malchei Amlochim. That's who's coming to us for Shabbos. But in any event, Alpi Kabbalah, I guess, there's this concept of Shabbos Malkasa, Kala Malkasa. The Shabbos is called a Kala, a bride. In fact, there are two dimensions to Shabbos, the male and the female dimensions. And the Ramban in his Pirush al Torah in Yisro claims that Leil Shabbos and Shabbos by day are two separate entities. It's the Zohar and the Shamar, but it's also the Nekeva and the Zohar. And Friday night is the Bechina of Nekeva of Kala Malkasa. The Maharal Prague in his Tiferes Yisrael says that Yom HaShabbos is Mevurach Mitzad Atzmo. The day of Shabbos, meaning the 24 hours of Shabbos, he's not referring to daylight, is blessed in and of itself, and it's called a Kala. A Kala, a bride, has a Bracha. Shabbos is separated from the rest of the week, and it's unique, and therefore it's called Malkasa. Miloshen Malchus. Malchus is Havdalah, separated from the others. And of course, the Arizal is famous because he used to go out of the city of Tzfat, out of the boundaries and the limits of the city, out into the southern, to the fields, with his Talmidim in order to be Mekabel Shabbos. And Bo Venetze here, according to the Ari, means we go out to the Soda. Now, it doesn't mean that Shabbos comes in through the Soda, you know, that's where the Malka comes in. But rather, the intention is that we shouldn't wait for Shabbos to come out to us. We have to go out and greet the Kala. And some people actually have that minigat chasen, that the chasen goes out to greet the Kala. So we want to be Makadim Pnei HaKala, Makabel Shabbos, and Makdim Pnei HaShabbos. We want to be Mosif Michol HaKodesh. And therefore we go out of our confines, in this case, according to the Ari's Minog, the confines of the city, in order to be Makabel the Shabbos. The Amrilei, there were others who said, Bo Venetze Likras Shabbos Kala Malkasa. According to the second Lishna, Rabbi Hanina added the word Shabbos. And the significance of this is explained here in Chidush HaGadol by the Maharal, that there are three Lishonos that indicate this, or correspond to, the three major mitzvahs of Shabbos. Number one, the mitzvah Shvisa Mimalacha. Number two, the mitzvah of Kvod Shabbos, which means changing one's begadim. And number three, the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. And all of these are hinted or alluded to in the word Shabbos. The shin of the word Shabbos, says the Maharal, is Shvisa. the base of Shabbos is Begadim Noim, which means Kavod Shabbos, and the Tav is Tanug Shabbos. And that's why, according to the second Lishnah, Rabbi Chanina was makpid to add the word Shabbos. Rav Yanai Misatev V'koi V'omar Boi Kala Boi Kala. Rav Yanai, now again, there are two interpretations here. Rashi says Rav Yanai Misatev means he wore Begadim Noim. He already got dressed up in his Shabbos best. And he stood and he declared, Boi Chala, Boi Chal. That was the way that he was Mekabel Shabbos, and he called upon himself and his Talmidim to be Shoveis, to accept upon themselves Shvisas Shabbos, and it was a tremendous Chavivus here, and he walked out with his Shabbos best, and he said, Boi Chala, Boi Chala. The Rambam, however, seems to interpret this Gemara literally. At the end of Hilchas Shabbos, he says Misatev means literally to cover himself, to wrap himself around. The Shekhinah is coming, and out of a state of pachad, of aim of the yira, one has to cover his face, like we found by Moshe Rabbeinu, that he covered himself at the snare because of a tznius and a pachad, the aim of the Shekhinah. You get the impression that the Gemara quotes Rav Yanai as a slightly different minog, because it says v'koi. V'koi means he was standing in his place. Unlike Rav Chanina, who said boi v'netze, we should go out likras kala malkasa, he said we don't have to go out for the kala. Again, there's a machlokas here, and it could be that Rav Yanai is talking at a later period of time when it's already Knesset Shabbos, and therefore you don't have to go out, or you're not even allowed to go out. But be that as it may, the basic halacha in our Mishnah of Isi ben Yehuda, Bryce and our Mishnah according to Rabbi Yochanan, is that there's a mitzvah to run on Erev Shabbos, and that mitzvah of running might not be limited to Torah and Hachanah for Erev Shabbos. It might even include Kabbalah Shabbos, and that would reflect the minog of Rabbi Chanina. But in any event, we've derived from all them in Hagim that there is a mitzvah to be Mekabel Pnei Shabbos, and there's also a mitzvah, of course, to be Toreach for Hachanah Shabbos, Tzorchei Shabbos, and therefore we run for that. There's a sense of urgency, and therefore the Ratz is Potter for Nezikin if inadvertently, again B'shogi, without Kavana, he damages someone, and that's called Birshus Osa. The Mishnah on the top of Daf Lamed Beis Amid Beis addresses itself to the case of a person who's in one rishus and he damages in another rishus. In other words, something shoots out and damages in a different rishus. The first case in the Mishnah is Hamavakea Birshus Arabin. He is chopping down wood or preparing logs for his campfire in Rishus HaRabim, and one little piece of wood shoots out V'hizik Birshus HaYochid and enters into the private domain of the Nizak. Another possibility is that the Garzen, the metal part of the axe flew off the handle and was mazik birshus harabim. This is very typical of hariga b'shogeg in the Mishnayis in the second parak of Makis. But here we have nezikin, we're not talking about ritzicha, and on the one end one could define the ascholas maisa hezek as rishus harabim, but on the other hand, one could say that the hezek itself took place in rishus hayochid. Now we go on to the second case, which is the flip case in the sefer of the Mishnah. Rishus hayochid, he's chopping down wood in his private backyard, and a piece of wood flies out, or the metal part of his axe flies out. V'hizik Rishus HaRabim. So he started Rishus HaYochid, which is a lot more condonable, if you say, in other words, permissible. But the hezik happened in Rishus HaRabim. Now we have a third case in the Mishnah. he was chopping his wood into logs, b'rishus ha'yachid, v'hizik b'rishus ha'yachid, and it went from his private backyard into someone else's private yard and did damage, is in all three cases, the Mishnah Pashkins, chayev, the mevakeah has to pay tashlume nizakim. And this is called kochel, because whatever flew out as a result of his chopping the wood is kocho, it's his power, and that becomes Adam HaMazik, and Adam HaMazik is chayv, as we said many times, for shogeg kemezid, Adam wood liolam bein shogeg ubein mezid. And now the Gemara is going to analyze these three cases of the Mishnah to tell you why each one of the three cases is necessary. Utsricha, we need all cases. In each one of the cases, there's a chidush to eat Tana if the Mishnah only said Hamavakeh b'rishus ha'yachid v'hizik b'rishus harabim. Had the Mishnah told us the resha, we started b'rishus harabim and the hezik took place in b'rishus ha'yachid, but rather the case of Mavakeh b'rishus ha'yachid v'hizik b'rishus harabim, then we would say mishum d'shkiche rabim. The Mechayev is the Maisa Hezek. And the Maisa Hezek, Sof Kol Sof, at the end of the day, took place in Rishus Arab, where people are walking. And he should have been careful not to be Mazik Rishus Arab. He's a Poshe, he's Chayev Aval. Rishus Arab, Rishus Ayochid, the Loshchiche Rabim. In the case where the Maisa Hezek took place in a private backyard, there are very rarely, you know, most people don't go into the backyard. And certainly in cold climates, when do they go into the backyard? 99% of the year, they don't even go there. Is Emelo, perhaps since the Maisa Hezek in the Reisha took place, in Shayachid, he's not responsible. The Seifa, meaning the second case, has more of an intuitive machayev, a liability, because the Hezek at the end of the day took place in Shusarabin. That's a real Shia. Oh, the Itana, but if I had the second case, Mishusarabin, Lushus Hayachid. And there we said that logically there's a less of a reason to be Machayev, but on the other hand, there's more of a reason to be Machayev. And I would have said, if I only had the Reisha of Mevakeh b'rishus harabim, I would have said that there is a specific reason, a very profound reason to be Machayev in Nizikim, Mishum D'mikara Shalo b'rishus Ovid. The action that he started, namely cutting down, you know, wood into smaller logs, mevakeitzim, a person has no rishus to do that in rishus harabim, and therefore he takes upon himself any liability, even if the hezek took place in a place that was lo shchichi b'rabim, rishus hayachid, he's chayev. So here we're putting the emphasis on the tchilas maisa. The beginning of the maisa was the bikua of eitzim in rishus harabim. That's a no-no. Aval rishus hayachid, rishus harabim. Maybe we would exempt the mevakeah, the mazik, from liability because he started his action in Rishus HaYochid, and that he was allowed to do. Notice maybe when a person, and we all cut trees and cut down logs in our private backyard, can we protect ourselves and be responsible if things fly away? Aim low, I would say, in such a case, that he is potur. So again, let's just review. In the second case, the sibas hamachayev would be that the hezek, the maisa hezek, actually took place in the rishus harabim. In the reish, I would say the sibas hachiyuv is because it was shalom b'rishus. He had no right to begin the maisa hezek and begin this process of bikua eitzim in rishus harabim. Now the Gemara wants to address the following question. Let's say we had the first two cases. Would I not know and derive the third case? V'itana hanach tarte. If the Mishnah would have told us, number one, mevakeh b'rishus harabim is chayav because he had no right to be mevakeah, or mevakeh b'rishus hayochid, the maisa hezek v'fol took place in rishus harabim. Everything, each one of these cases, the first and the second, has a machayev. But ha, when we get to the final case in the Mishnah, and that is where he started Rishus HaYochid and the Hezek had Rishus HaYochid, we're missing both of these Mechayvim. Ha, the two Mechayvim are number one, Mishum Deshchichei Rabim, the Hezek took place in Rishus HaRabim. Ha, in the case where he started his bikur rishus rabbi nehezik to place rishus yom mishum dishalover shus, he had no right to be mivakir rishus rabbi. Avol, now we get to the seifa, the last case in the mishnah, rishus hayachid, rishus hayachid. Acher went from Ruvain, the mivakeis rishus hayachid, to Shimon's, the nizak's rishus hayachid. And here, the mavakeya, the act of bikua was birshus. And the mice says it took place, which is low, shchicha be'ravim. I had every right to chop down my wood in my backyard. And you'll tell me, but wait a minute, be careful. Should I anticipate that a piece of wood might fly out and hit the guy in his backyard? And he's like, well, low, shchicha be'ravim. You know, one in a million is the chances that he's there just at that moment, back in his backyard. Or Meikara Rishus, and he had every right to start this process. The Maisa Bikur was Rishus Aim. Well, lo, I would say it's missing both in the Chayv and Tzricha. The Mishnah has to tell me in the Sefer that he is Chayv. And the reason why he's Chayv is again because of Adam, Muad, Liolam, Bein Bishogeg, Bein Memezid. And it means that even when he's doing the Bikur Bershus, he still has to be very careful. And not only careful about a possibility of a Hezek in Rishus HaRab, the Shchicha HaRab, but even a Hezek of his neighbor in Rishus HaYochid. Even though you might argue the Mishnah could have told us the last case, and if in the last case he's Chayev for Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaYochid, certainly be Chayev in the first two cases, why did the Mishnah feel compelled to tell me the first two cases? But that's called, in the literary style of the Mishnah, lozu afzu. First, the Mishnah wants to tell me the lower and the simpler chidush, and then to tell me the greater chidush. That's the general style of Mishnayis. The Gemara now brings a braisa that deals with the case of a person who enters into the chotzer of his friend, and he himself, the one who enters, gets damaged. Tana Rabbanan, hanichnas lechanuso shel nagor shelo bershus. A person unexpectedly and without permission enters into a carpenter's carpentry. Vinitisa bakas, and sure enough, a small piece of wood shot out as the carpenter was working on the wood. Vitofchal panav, and unfortunately, tragically, it hit him over the head. Umes is potur. According to this braisa, the nagar is potur from golus because the nichnas had no rishus to go in there. The narag was overstepping his bounds when he went in. Now, if you take a look at Tosis, Dima Velch Naskel Vinitza, he changes the girsa here. He says the girsa is incorrect. It cannot be umes, because this braisa is not addressing the chiyuv of golus, but rather the chiyuv of Adam Amazik, and specifically Chovel, the Tashlumin of Arba v'Chamisha, and therefore the case is huzak and not mes. Rashi, on the other hand, Dibur Maskel Potter, says explicitly we're talking about a p'tur golus, implying that he had the girsa that we have, and that is umes. Now, why is it that the nagar is potter from golus? And as we said before, the case of golus is yar. Yar means that everyone had rishus to go there. Here, the nerag had no rishus to go into the nagar. Now, if on the other hand, the nizak or the narag had rishus, you know, he knocked on the door, he rang the bell, and the nagar said, "Please come in." At that point, the nagar becomes responsible and liable for any damages and chas v'shalom the misa of the nichnas, and that's what it says, chayav. Now, as we said before, Rashi's girsa here is umes. And when the Bryce and the Rashi says that when the Nichnas came in, Shalom Rishus, and he died as a result of the Hezek, the Nagra, the Masik, is potter, that means he's potter from Golos. That's Rashi Shita. And if you take a look at Rashi, Dibra Maskil Chayav, Rashi seems to assume, if I read it carefully, that if it wasn't a case of Misa, where the Nichnas Shelo Bershus died, but rather it was a case of Huzak, where he was injured, then the Nagar would be Chayav Tashlumei Nezek, according to Rashi. And again, based on the halach of Petza Tachas Petza, which the Gemara back on Chavav Darshan, L'chayav es Ha'odom, Odom HaMasik, the Ones, Kibirotzah. Again, it's below Kavana, so he doesn't pass to pay Dalet Dvarim, that means Tzar, Ripuy, Sheves, and Boshes. But nevertheless, even though there was no Pshia, there was no Kavana, he does have to pay Nezek. And this is Rashi at the end, the second half of this Rashi. He says, "V'reisha dif shalom b'shus poter midal dvarin, aval nezek chay." Let's go on in the sugya. My chayav. What does it mean that you are chayav? And that's in the sefer where the Nichnas had Rishus to go in, and he was either killed or he's injured, and the Nagar is Chayav. Omer Rav Yossi Bar Chanina. First of all, let's take the case of Huzak. As a result of this flying piece of wood, the Nichnas was injured bodily. Chayav Bidalit Dvarim. He's Chayav in Nezek, Tsar, Ripui, and Sheves. And now we turn to Daf Lamed Beis, Amid Beis. Upatur Migolos. Now, as far as Boshes is concerned, there we need Kavana Lahazik. So it's very interesting that the sugya here of Rav Yossi Bar Chanina is mechalik between Tsar Ripui and Sheves on the one hand, and Boshes on the other hand. As far as Tsar Ripui, Sheves, and Boshes, those are Chiyuve Chavola that apply whenever there is a Pshia, and possibly even in the case of Ones, I don't know. Let's assume that in Ones there is no Chiyuve, but here there's a Pshia because he gave him Rishus to enter in. Boshes, however, even if there's a Pshia, that's only one condition, and that's sufficient for Tsar, Ripui, and Sheves, but in the case of Boshes, there's a unique halacha, a prerequisite of Miskaven Lahazik. And this is a sugya which Rashi refers to here from Daf, later on, Baf Pei Vav Amud Beis. Now, what happens if in the Seifa the Nichnas Bershus dies? Upotur Migolos. According to Rav Chanina, there is no Chiyuv Golos. And the question is, why? I mean, certainly there is liability here. He pays Nezikin. Why should he be potter from Golos? And the answer is Lefisha Ein Dome Liyar. This is not similar to the case of Horeg B'Shogeg. It's got to be Shogeg, exactly Shogeg. What's Shogeg? Yar. Yar is Zeh L'Rishuso Nichnas, V'Zeh L'Rishuso Nichnas. The Yar, the forest, is a Rishuso Rab. Everybody could go there. And now we have a shogeg. And what does it mean? Zeler shus chavero nichnas. It means that, and I'll read to you the perush here. He says, Yesh lodun bein es ha-horeg ubein es ha-nerak nichnas lershus shalahem. In the case of Yar, which becomes the prototype of a Chiyuv Golus, both have permission to enter into the Yar. However, that's not similar to our case of the Nagar. Why? Because Zeh Lushus Chavero Nichnas. Now it seems that Rabbi Hanina, in this interpretation, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Hanina, excuse me, is learning that the Ptur of Golos is because of Karov Leones. In other words, who owns the Rishus? And the ownership of the Rishus is the Nagar. And that's not similar to Yar. So there's, in a sense, a technical reason why in Hilchas Golus, if the Nichnas Bishus died, the Nagar is Potter. Rava now is going to pounce upon Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Hanina, and he's going to come up with the opposite approach. Now, the Ptur here could be validated, but not because it's not enough of a Machayiv. The Nagar was not responsible enough or negligent enough, but on the contrary, it was too responsible. It's closer to Mezidus. And I said before, the Chiyuv of Golos has to be punked exactly that midway between Ones and Mezid, which means Shogeg. It can't be too much towards Ones, which is Karav Lodes, and it can't be too much towards Mezi, which is Karav Lemezi. Oh, my Rava Kalvachomer, I don't understand. If you're looking at Yar, and you're telling me that in the case of Yar, there's enough responsibility to generate a Chiv Golus if he killed some of the Shogei, and how much more so in our case of Nichlas or Shus, there's enough responsibility to generate a Chiv Golus, and that's a Kalvachomer. Uma Yar. Zel Daito Nichnas Vizel Daito Nichnas is nevertheless Nasa Kmishan Nichnas Ladas Chadvero Vigola. If there's a responsibility in the case of Yar, where certainly the Rotzeach had Rishus, it was Ladaito, he had perfect permissibility to enter into the Yar and do what he has to do. Nevertheless, it's considered that the Nirzach has Das, meaning he's allowed to come in there, Vigola. And therefore, the Rotzeach, who's cutting down these branches, is responsible. Is there, how much more so is there responsibility in the case of the Nagor, Sholdas Chavero Nichnas, that he was invited in? In other words, if I'm responsible for someone who went into the Yar because I killed him, I didn't even know that he was there. I didn't invite him in. And that's enough of responsibility to engender goals. How much more so if I invited him into my Nagaria, into my carpentry? Lo Kolshke, Elama Rava. Rava disagrees with Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Hanina, not La Halacha, although we'll see Nafkabinas, but conceptually says, my Potter Migolos, why would there be a Ptur of Golos? I can agree with it as a Ptur of Golos. The answer is because Golos is a Kapara, and it's Kapara for Shogeg. But the losagi labor goals, in this case, the responsibility and the liability of the Nagar is so intense and profound that Golas just simply won't do it. When we send a Rotzeach B'Shogeg into Golas, what we're doing is we're promising him that the Ir Miklat is Mechaper. Behind the time of the Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Hanina, we have to reinterpret Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Hanina. And as Rav is not willing to say that Rabbi Hanina messed up over here, we have to reinterpret him. The reason why Rabbi Yossi says he's potter from Golus is not the way we assume, but Mishum Dahavile Shogeg Karov Lemezit. Because here, it's almost like he's amazed. He invited someone into his Nagaria, and he has total responsibility for that. Now, is the Gemara going to be happy with that? That in the case of Karav Lemezid, you're exempt from Golus? Masiv Rava, let's take a look in Masechta Makis, and we're going to derive from Masechta Makis the opposite opinion, the opposite halacha, or conclusion. The case over there in Makis, on Daf Chav Beis Amid Beis, is the din of a person who's getting Malkus in Bezdin. He's getting 39 lashes because of his criminal act. Bezdin makes an umdana. They evaluate how many Malkus he can tolerate without putting his life into danger. Hosiflo, if after this umdana, the Shliach Bezdin, who's meeting out the lashes adds ritzua achas, he gives him an extra bang, an extra lash above and beyond the umdana that he could take. And sure enough, umes, the person who was getting malchus died as a result of that extra ritzua. Hareza gola al yada, says Rava, vahacha dishoge karv lemezidu. Certainly, it's very close to a mezid situation. The boy asuki adaite, the responsibility falls on the shoulders of the malke of the shliach bezdin to guarantee that he will not overdo it. That's the whole purpose of the umdana. And the Gemara says he should have understood the maisei inish bechadaritzu, that a person could die as a result of one extra makah. And nevertheless, despite the fact that this is a shogeg karav lemezid uktani harei zeh gola, so you see that there is a chiyuv golus even for a shogeg karav lemezid. And perhaps, again, I'm just suggesting that the premise of chiyuv golus of shogeg karav lemezid is not golus b'toris mechaper. Rava would have to admit that there's no kapara for a karav lemezid through golus, but rather golus b'toras hagona, b'toras hatzola, that he can avail himself of the protection of the ir miklat, and he has to do so in order to save his life from the gola dam. Okay, that's very, you know, very be'eravon mugbal, as we say, they take it with a grain of salt. Omar av simi minar da, you have to reinterpret that Mishnah of Shliach Bezdin. It's not the case that the Shliach Bezdin just decided to give an extra makah beyond the umdana, but rather the toy b'minyana. The Shliach Bezdin got mixed up with the counting. He thought that, let's say they were meant to give him 13 lashes, he thought he was up to number 13 when in fact he was up to number 14. It's like, you know, when the kala goes around the chasan, make sure you count 7 times. Otherwise, maybe it's the 8th time. In any event, he added an extra makah, which brought about the death, Nebuch, of the loker. And that's called a tos. That's a reasonable kind of error. And that's called shogeg mamish. It's not korov lemezit. And that's why he goes into golos. Tofekle Rava besandale. Now, I don't know if you take this literally, but Rava responded very ballistically to this statement of Rav Simi. And he actually took off his sandal and hit him over the head. Again, I don't know if you want to take this literally. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, Ke'odom shenogea al regel chaveru b'chashoy kidei shlo yishmu ha'omdim saviv. Like a person who steps on his friend's foot and nobody has to see it, nobody has to know about it. I don't know, I'm not sure what Rashi means over here, because it seems to me that if he hit him over the head with a sandal, then everybody would certainly notice this. Now, it seems to me that Rashi offers two lashonos here. And Einu Chinami, according to the second lashon, it was pretty obvious that he hit him over the head with a sandal. But Rashi's first lashon says, al sandlolo. And I think what he means is that he stepped on his foot and nobody had to notice this. I think that's a softer way of understanding this Gemara. In any event, Omar Le, Rava turns to Rav Simi and he says the following. Otu hu mani, is it true that the Shliach Bezdin is the one who's responsible for counting the minyan amalkas? For Tanya, we have a brisa in terms of the Seder amalkas, had gadol shepa dayonim kore, one of the dayonim, the greatest of the dayonim, the elder statesman of the group, he's the one who, as the pasuk says, v'hifla shem es makoscha, and the Hasheni Mone, the Hashlishi Hakeu. There are three participants here, three Dayanim. And the first Dayan just declares the Pasuk, the Hifla Hashem is Makoska, that Hashem should bring you Kapora through these Malkus for your sin. and v'hurach mi'chaper ovon. The second dayan is the one who counts, and the third dayan is the one who tells the shliach bez din hakeu. Now's the moment, the right moment for giving the malchus. So how can you tell me that this is a justifiable, reasonable toes upon the shliach bez din? He's only allowed to hit that specific makah after he gets the word, the go ahead to do so. Ela amar av simi minar doi, the ta dayane gufa, the toes was made by the dayan himself. He himself got confused in the minyan, and that's why the shliach bez din added the extra makah, and that's called horeg b'shogeg. Again, you might say it's karov leones because he was following the horos of bez din, but the answer is that he too is responsible for counting. In other words, there's no obedience theory that would patter you up and make you into an anus. The Gemara is unhappy about this because we still have another mission in Makkos to contend with on Daf Ches Amud Aleph. Meisvei, the Mishnah says on Daf Ches Amud Aleph, Hazorek Es Ha'Even Lushus Arabin V'Horag. If a person throws a stone into a public domain and he kills someone, B'Shogeg Hareza Gola. How can the Mishnah say Yechai for Golos, for sending a rock into Shesarabim? He should have understood and he should have anticipated the possibility in a place where Rabim are Shechiche, where they go and they walk, that he might hit someone with this Evan. So once again, should we conclude that even a Karav L'Mezid, since he's a Shogeg, he doesn't have intention, he's Chayv Golos? Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, no, the Mishnah is not talking about Stam, you know, he threw an Evan into Shesarabim, wherever it lands, but rather B'Soser Es Koslo, he has a wall that separates, divides between the boundaries, the outer boundaries of his private yard, his Chatzer, and Shesarabim, and he was taking apart his wall, chipping away at it, and one of the stones flew out of the wall and hit someone in the Shesarabim. And that's called a shogeg. Not a shogeg karv lemezid, but a shogeg mamsh. The Gemara is not happy with that either. If a person is taking apart his kosel, knocking it piece by piece, and he's literally sending stones in this direction and that, they're flying in all ways, then since his kosel borders on Mishasarabim, he certainly has to know that there's a serious possibility that he'll kill somebody. And that should qualify and constitute a karv lemezid. And the Gemara answers, no, b'soser balayla. This is not a normal case of Rishus HaRabim, where Shchichi be'Rabim, it's at night. And people at night are not flooding the Rishus HaRabim. I remember I was once on a trip to Cape Town, and people told me that at night, you know, you don't walk through the streets. So the Gemara is not happy about this. Okay, maybe there's not masses of population at night. People are resting and going to sleep in their homes. But nevertheless, if you're taking apart your kosel at night, you should be very careful that somebody might get hit. And this is again, karov lemezid. The Gemara goes back to Soser. The Soser is kosel vayom la'ashpa. What's happening here? He's not sending pieces of stone into the Rosh Hashanah mamish, but rather into the Ashpa. Ashpa is a public dumping ground. And the Gemara says the following, Hi Ashpa, if you tell me what's exactly the case of the Ashpa, that you want to tell me that this is Shogeg, and it's not Karav Lemezid. Either Shchichei Be'Rabim, if people come on a regular basis to dump things into the Ashpa, or they go there maybe to relieve themselves, whatever they're doing, is then, again, it's Shogeg Karav Lemezid. He should have realized that somebody would be in the Ashpa and he would be jeopardizing his life. But Elo Shchichi Rabim, if it's a place where very few people use that rubbish dumping ground, Anusu. The Gemara assumes now, and again that's a very moot point that has to be studied, that this is not even a Shogeg. It's Lo Shchichi Be'Rabim, it's Anus. And again, as we said before, the Chiv Golis in Shogeg means a Shogeg that's midway, so to speak, between one extreme and the other, polar extreme of onus and the polar extreme of mazid, it doesn't tip too far towards mazid nor too far towards onus. Here it's too far towards onus. Omer Rav Papa, let's define this ashpa precisely. Lo tzricha elo li ashpa suyali panos balayla v'ena suyali panos bayom. It's used on a regular basis for people to relieve themselves, that's called lipanos, or to defecate in English, at night, you know, when they're covered by the mantle of darkness, so there's privacy. But people don't usually go there by day. But the eco de mikre v'yosiv, there is a certain, you know, silent minority, I don't know what percentage it is, let's call it a 10% chance that somebody is there during the day, you know, he's desperate, he has no place to relieve himself. So therefore, karav lemezid lo havi da ena asuya liponos bayom. You can't call it mezid or karav lemezid because he doesn't anticipate anyone's using it during the day. But honest nami lo havi, to say that he's completely exonerated, totally of any level of responsibility, that's impossible. Why da ha ika de mikre v'yasi? There are those who go there even during the day. And therefore, we understand that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Hanina, in the Sefer of the Braisa, in terms of a person who enters into the Rishus of the Nagar, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that although the Nagar is Chayab Tashlumin Dalid Vehei, but nevertheless he's Potomigolis, because that's a case of Shogeg Karv Lemezit. All the other cases in Masech Demakis that we discussed are cases of Shogeg Mamsh, for example, where the Dayana made a mistake in their counting, and the Shliach Bezdin, although he should have been counting, he gave an extra smack, and the Loke died. Or in the case of someone who is knocking down his Kosel, and he kills someone by a flying rock, that's the case of the Mishnah. Where's the Mishnah? Just one second. The Mishnah says that Hazorik es Evan Lishus Harabim Vaharik Areza Goleh. We're talking about a person who is taking apart his kosel during the day and kills someone in the ashpa. That's also shogeg, and that's where you are chayev golus, because it's shogeg. But in the case of nichnas birshus lenagar, there it's karv lemezid. Although the nagar would be chayev for injuries, with the exception of boshes without kavana, but he's not chayev for golus because he's too severe. His act of Ritzicha was too much of a Karav Lemezid. The Gemara now offers another alternative interpretation of Yossi Rav Hanina Rav Papa Mishmei Derava Masnile Aresha. He insists that Rav Yossi Rav Hanina's comment was on the Resha Hanichnas L'Chanuso Shal Nagar Shal Lo Bershus V'Nitiz Alo Big Bakas V'Tofkal Aponavu Meis Patur. And on that, we have the comment. Again, we're talking about a person who had no right, no permission to enter into the Nagar. He surprised the Nagar and trespassed. Omer Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Hanina, nevertheless, if the Nichnas Shalom Bershus was a Nizak, is Chayav Be'arba Dvarim. That still constitutes a Chiyuv of Adama Mazik, Bein B'Mezid, Bein B'Shogeg, etc. The Upotur Migolos. Upotur Migolos means that if he died, he is Potur Migolos. The Gemara says, Man demasni le asefa. If we interpret Rabbi Yossi as referring to the Seifa, which is the case of Nichnas Birshus, is Kolshkein a Resha. How much more so would there be a Ptur of Golos in the Resha? Because in the Resha, that's a case of Karov Leones. You know, the Nagar is he's working as he does, you know, 9 hours a day, you know, sweating. He doesn't expect someone all of a sudden unannounced to fly into his Nagar and expose himself to such a danger. And if in the Sefer, which is Karov Lemezi, you put them from Golos, then in the Resha, you put them from Golos because it's Karov Leones. But if you learn that that the Ptur of Golos of Rabbi Yossi is only in the Reisha, that's Rav Papa in the name of Rava, then Avala Seifa could be Keva de Bishus Chai of Golos. It could be that in such a case he is Chai of Golos in the Seifa when the Nerag had Rishus to go in. And the question is it possible to assume that he would be Chai of Golos in such a case? Lechora, it should be Karov Lemezid. So that's going to be the next part of this Sugya. And Bli Neder will cover that in the next Shia. So we'll stop here.